Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning house call from Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Dr. Most. Let's talk about breast cancer first. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And as I understand it, the incidence of breast cancer has increased in recent years, but the death rates have gone down. Talk about that a little bit first.
Yeah, you know, a couple things there. One, we have kind of moved the age for starting mammograms, so we expect the incidence to go up a little bit. And also, we have better equipment. So the old mammograms that we have now, we have much more accurate mammograms. We have much better reading skills with those. So is it a better diagnosis or is it an increased incidence? But we do see the incidence going up. But we have, like I said, found better ways to identify and manage these. So it's good that we have increased the incidence, and because we are finding more, and we're finding them at an earlier stage.
400,000 cases a year here in the United States currently, right?
Correct. You know, and 400,000 cases a year, and you know, over 40,000 women die from this. It's the second leading cause of cancer death in women, and you know, it's unfortunate, but certainly we are finding new ways to treat it, finding new ways to identify it earlier. So really, getting that screening mammogram is very important for individuals.
Now, the recommendations for mammograms have changed. What was it about a year ago? What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so we've moved it. We moved it to 40. We're starting to see more patients being identified at an earlier age, and when we did that, they moved the age to starting the screening at the age of 40. Now, this is a discussion that you have with your physician. There are some people they may even want to start before the age of 40, but right now the recommendation is annual screening starting at the age of 40.
There's a new study out, and we've been hearing a lot about these weight loss drugs and the risks of taking them. What did we learn from this latest research?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You have to remember these weight loss drugs that we're talking about, you know, Wegovy and Ozempic, are used for diabetes. And now we're starting to find when they did this, boy, these people lost a lot of weight. So now people are starting to use them for weight loss. So this has gone from a drug that was very popular for diabetes to a drug that has just exploded. I mean, we are talking about, you know, tens of millions of people now using this. And we really didn't have a great study based on that large of a number and those who are non-diabetic, what the side effects were going to be. But we're starting to find that they have a 3 times higher chance of stomach paralysis, a 9 times higher chance of pancreatitis, which can be threatening. Now, these numbers are small, but once you start to get these tens of millions of people, you're going to see more cases of it. Not that the incidence is going to go up, but just the gross number is going to go up.
And this study was observational, they said. It was off of insurance claims. So translate that into English for us, will you, Doc?
Yes. Right, exactly. So when we look at studies and we look at study results, these are observational, like you said. So we looked at all the people on the medication and looked to see what their side effects were. Now, these individuals, the pancreatitis, those individuals may have been heavy alcohol users and may have some other reason to have pancreatitis. Their cholesterol levels are super high. So it's an observational. We're not saying that Wegovy and Ozempic cause this, although it appears that there's going to be some tie in there, but more that it is observed that individuals who are on this medication, these are the side effects that they have. So now we have to look to see, okay, if it is a causal effect, in other words, Ozempic causes pancreatitis, do we need to change the dosing in some people to prevent that from occurring?
It's Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. These numbers are interesting. About 55% of Americans ages 40 to 49 and about 58% of people 50 to 64 have low general sleep health. Do we know why? I guess there are many reasons for this, correct?
Yeah, Bob, there are. You know, sleep health has really exploded in growth as far as the importance of it over the past, I'd say, 10, 15 years. You know, getting REM sleep is so important to rest our body, our brain. It helps with our immune system. But as we age, certainly we know that things are going to happen, right? We have more medical conditions. We have back pain. We have arthritis. We're taking medications that have side effects that can cause us to either difficulty falling asleep or difficulty staying asleep. Our body habitus, we are heavier as we age and increases our chance of sleep apnea. Extra flesh around our neck increases our chance of sleep apnea. Women have hot flashes, our muscle tone. The list goes on and on and on as to why we won't have as good of sleep patterns as we do when we're younger. But it is concerning because the importance of sleep is so important to our overall general health.
Now, they say if you have trouble getting back to sleep, you get up in the middle of the night, you're supposed to get out of bed and do something, right, instead of just laying there.
Well, what happens with many people is when they wake up in the middle of the night, then they just say, okay, I'm going back to sleep. I'm going, and you know, you're fighting with your mind at that point. So really, like you said, you get up, but you have to do this safely because it's dark. So if you're going to do it, turn the light on, move around a little bit, do something, and then get back in bed because now your mind has a chance to refocus on what it is versus the frustration that you woke up. So it's not like you go out and run a mile, but you certainly can get up, move around. That works for some people. Other people, it's better that they stay off and don't get any stay in bed and don't get any other stimuli, whether it be the lights being on. But certainly going and watching TV and getting on a computer is probably not the best thing. It's more of just a motion to kind of take your mind off that frustration of not being able to fall back asleep.
Every once in a while, we have an expert in here on meditation, our friend Sean Mozell, and he talks about how important the last few moments before you hit the sack and also the first few minutes when you get up are important for just setting your mind right. And I guess when we talk about having trouble sleeping, lots of times it's stress, it's thinking about things you have to do. So what do you suggest? Exercise, journaling before you go to bed, what else?
Yeah, 100%. Probably one of the biggest things is people say, I'm going to watch TV or I'm going to do email or I'm going to do something, and that's probably the worst thing you can do. So try to the last hour before you're going to go to sleep, no TV, no emails, no computer time whatsoever. Because like you said, those can actually increase the stress, whatever you're watching, if you're watching the news and it's stressful, or whatever you have on your computer. But like you said, sitting and journaling is a great idea. Write down the positive things that you did that day. Write down things that you're going to do in the next couple of days. Something to at least wind your mind down, which is really important. Because like you said, we have a lot of stresses at this portion of our life, right? We're juggling kids, we're juggling finance, we're juggling problems at work. We have aging parents that we're concerned about. We have our own anxieties. So getting to kind of calm down for those hour before you're actually going to go to bed and set a routine. Set a routine that you're going to bed at this time. And when you get in bed, the worst thing you can do is turn the TV on and watch TV thinking that's going to make you fall asleep. Reading a book is okay, as long as it's not a book that is going to increase your anger, your anxiety. But really, what you're trying to do is calm the body down as much as they can. Many people will take a hot shower just before they go to bed. Very relaxing. So you really have to stay away from caffeine. I would tell people if you're going to nap, people love naps, make sure they're short naps. That individual gets a 45 or hour and a half nap in the middle of the day. Your body has rested a little bit there and now is not ready to go to bed again in the evening when it's time to actually go to bed.
And before we let you go, Moderna is testing a single combo shot for COVID and flu. How effective will that be, and when is that available? Do we know?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting just because of the timing. Hopefully, Moderna's doing it. They announced it, but Pfizer's doing it, and Novavax is doing it as well. It's going to be interesting to see if they have enough study and enough timing of results to put it forward for next year. But it looks like it's probably going to be 25 just because of the timing, which is unfortunate. Now, we know that the results should be very good because we've been telling everybody, go right ahead and get both shots at the same time because the studies have shown that the immune response is good. So really what they're testing right now is how stable is the vaccine when they're all put together in the same shot. So we know the response is going to be good. Now it's going to be, do the two vaccines play well with each other when they're in a syringe, essentially. But certainly it looks like, I would hope it's going to be next year, but it may be 25, which will just take away a lot of that confusion and make it much easier for people to just get their annual fall shot.
Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. Get a good night's sleep. Definitely don't watch the news tonight. I'll tell you that. We'll talk next Monday. Have a good one, Doc.
You've got it. Take care, Bob.